as parents, Kristen and I are at that happy stage of life where at least once a week we head down to the swimming pool and the children are having lessons. And probably for anybody who's been through that stage, you know, it takes the children quite a while to be ready for the deep end. And even when they can actually swim, they're still not ready to go out to the deep end where their feet can't touch the bottom. In time, though, you expect them to grow in ability and confidence and to happily jump in at the deep end, to dive down deep. But what if after several years of lessons, they still weren't ready, still didn't venture out into the deep? You'd certainly be disappointed and you'd have to say something would have gone wrong. Well, I share that as an illustration of what is happening in our passage. The writer to the Hebrews wants to jump into some deep waters. He wants to take the church into some deep truths about our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's disappointed because the church isn't ready. And even after some time when they have had many lessons, they're not yet able to venture into deeper things of the faith. They're still not ready to understand things that are more weighty. If you look at me, he says in verse 10, as is the subject, the main body of the letter, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. That's the good news we've been considering together. But he says he's a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, where he's got that thought from is if you look back at verse 6, he quotes there from Psalm 110. And that quotation is all part of his argument, showing the church that the Lord Jesus is the one who is qualified to be the high priest in heaven. But he brings in that quote from Psalm 110 that refers to Melchizedek. And now, as he continues, he's going to pick up on that thought. What does that mean? High priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, he's a mysterious figure that you find in the Old Testament. All the way back in Genesis in chapter 14. This is a man who visits Abraham after he's won a great victory in battle over the kings who had invaded and taken his nephew Lot prisoner. By God's grace, Abraham defeats them and rescues Lot and also many of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And after this battle, Melchizedek appears. He's called king of Salem and priest of God Most High. And he blesses Abraham. And then he disappears, seemingly never to be heard from again. But despite this very fleeting appearance in Scripture, the writer to the Hebrews is going to tell us that there's something very important about this, actually. Something really important about this man, Melchizedek, and what it meant that he was a priest. And Psalm 110, as a prophecy about the Lord Jesus, tells us that his priesthood is in the order of Melchizedek. And in fact, he's going to come on to these things in future chapters. But just as he wants to be able to begin to explain this mystery and what it means about the Lord's heavenly priesthood, he has to stop. He's got to stop and challenge and exhort these Hebrew saints. He says in verse 11, there's much that I want to say about this, much that I would share, but it's going to be hard to explain. Why? Because there's something lacking in them, the listeners. The difficulty is not in the teaching or in the teacher. The fault is in the pupils. He says, look, the problem is you become dull of hearing. You should be ready to jump in with me into these deep waters of truth, hear profound teaching, but you're not. He wants to encourage them with rich, wonderful things, heavenly things, glorious things that he would open up from the scriptures. And tragically, they're not there. And so then from really verse 12 onwards, he explains what's gone wrong and what they need to do to fix it. So what's the problem here? What's gone wrong with this church? Well, it's an important question to ask, because obviously, as believers today, we don't want to make the same mistake. We don't want to fall short in the same way. We want to be learning and growing and going deeper in our faith, deeper in our understanding. Well, essentially, the scripture says the problem is that they are spiritually immature. They're spiritually immature. They're underdeveloped. They've not advanced. They've not made progress in the faith. They're still acting and thinking like babes in the faith, those who are brand new to the faith. Not so much childlike in their faith, but childish. To be childlike in the sense of innocent and trusting and pure is a good thing, we should always be, but childish in the sense that they've not grown up as Christians. They should have done. They should have developed their understanding of the faith and of doctrine. They should have learned how to put the truth into practice, to live it out. But they haven't. And he's disappointed that they're still spiritually immature. Look, just look at how the scripture describes them. They've become dull of hearing, sluggish in hearing. It means jaded, slothful, bored as they hear the truths of the faith. Now, you understand, he's not criticizing their intelligence or their ability to concentrate. He says that it's deeper than that. It's a moral, spiritual failing. They've lost enthusiasm. They've lost excitement. They've lost interest in hearing and learning the things of God. It's a moral, spiritual failure. Once they found the gospel and hearing about it, listening to it, and hearing the scriptures and these great truths being preached and taught, they were just delighted by those things. It had thrilled them once, moved them, gripped them. Makes me think of how, you know, maybe once, like those listeners in Acts chapter 20 in Troas. You remember it says Paul visited them and he preached all night until poor Eutychus, a servant, from sheer exhaustion, falls asleep and falls out a window and by God's grace is healed. But once they've been like that, they've been so eager to drink in God's word. They wanted to learn. They wanted to grow. They wanted to go forward. And now, dull of hearing, cold-hearted, wasn't thrilling them and touching their hearts. And you could say almost like their spiritual appetite was diminished. Weren't looking to eat and drink in more. Once the wonder of the forgiveness of sin, now routine, mundane, not looking to go on. Again, isn't that childish? You know how children, they just get so easily bored, don't they? And bored. And they lose interest in things that they've already heard. They're always looking for something new and lose interest and easily distracted and focusing on frivolous things. They're acting like that as spiritual children instead of really listening and drinking into what is good and sitting in their spiritual lessons, paying full attention, focusing on other lesser things. I'm sure you'll agree with me, brothers and sisters, that actually that's a common struggle as a Christian, isn't it? And it seems to be part of our fallen nature that it always wants to be sliding backwards, and it's easy to lose a sense of wonder at the gospel, lose a sense of spiritual thirst, to want to go on. We could take the grace of God for granted and not treasure the truths of the gospel. And May the Lord give us warm hearts, soft hearts. May we never be dull of hearing, but wanting to hear God's word. He goes on and he says, look, the scripture says that they've declined even to the point that where they should have been teaching others. It's like they've forgotten even the basics, the first principles, the elementary principles of Christian teaching. And they need to be taught all over again. And that little phrase, first principles or elementary principles, in the Greek of the time, that was like saying your ABCs. You should be like college graduates now, ready to teach others, but it's like you're back in kindergarten. You seem to have forgotten even the basics, your ABCs. And it's true. If we're not going forward in the faith, we will be slipping backwards. We will be declining. There should only be one direction in a true Christian. Forward. Forward to grow in knowledge, to grow in faith, to grow in grace, to be increasingly conformed to Christ. Forward to be more and more transformed by God's grace. And if we're not going forward, there'll be an inevitable decline. It's essential, as he's speaking really about teaching, it's essential as a Christian to be growing in knowledge, to be growing in the truth, in an understanding of doctrine, and not just knowing it here, but having the truth so impact as we know it here, making a lasting impression on our hearts. This is the normal process of sanctification. God's truth comes to our heads, to our minds. And as we meditate upon it and understand it, the weight of truth begins to then touch our hearts. We should be stirred by it, convicted by it, moved by it with feeling. And then that will affect our hands. And we then should live and obey it and respond. And that's the biblical pattern of sanctification, head, heart, hands, but through the power of the truth. And we want the truth of God's words to be pressed down, written down, put on our hearts, part of us, forever. We don't want it to be passing through our ears like the wind blowing through the trees, or like a breeze on a lake, just a few ripples on the surface, but then underneath all is still. We want it to be going down deep. It's like the Apostle James warns us about the man who listens to God's word and then he goes away and forgets it. Like somebody who looks in a mirror and forgets what their face looks like. So again, how we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work within us. He alone can write God's word on the heart. He alone convicts us and transforms us and affects us with the truth. He also complains that they can only digest milk and not solid food. Like babies, they can only handle milk and not meat because a baby can't chew the food. Its body and its stomach not strong enough to digest solid food. An underdeveloped, immature Christian cannot handle more difficult, challenging, complex truths. They're just going to be quickly overthrown by the more difficult passages of Scripture. Don't know how to chew on them, how to meditate upon them, how to connect it with other Scripture, have Scripture interpret Scripture. And the immature lacks faith to believe the hard truths. They can only handle the softer, easy to hear, palatable truths. God's love and mercy in Christ, that's just pure milk. It goes down so wonderfully easily and nourishes us. But what about those doctrines about God's judgment and hell or election or our depravity or his discipline that we are called to suffer at times as God's people? That's much harder to hear and to take in and digest. And an immature Christian will just reject that. Won't accept that and spit it out. It's not a good thing. Sometimes you hear people talk about the simple gospel. All we need is the simple gospel. In one sense, that's right. If we mean that we don't want anything to dilute or distract us from the glorious simplicity of the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and if we mean by that, we don't want any false doctrine, we don't want any worldly philosophy coming in to distort the pure simplicity of God's truth, of God's love in Christ. If by that we mean we preach a simple gospel, pure, unadulterated, offered to all, and so plain a child can understand it, if that's what we mean, absolutely, you know, count me in. We would love and preach a simple gospel. But sadly, in a lot of the church, that's not what folks mean. Amongst some Christians, there's a tendency to an anti-intellectual approach to the faith. An overly simplistic, mistaken rejection of learning and of study. It was a strange kind of suspicion of learning. An inverted snobbery against those who are very knowledgeable Christians, mighty in the Word of God. Right, why do we need to know about all these difficult doctrines? Come on, all that book learning and study's no use. That's just head knowledge. Or, look, does it matter if we have different opinions on these doctrines between all the churches? Can't we just get along? Does it really matter? We just need a simple gospel. Oh, you Presbyterians and you're fussing about doctrine, about justification, and can't we just get along? Why do you have to be so difficult? But that's to remain immature. Because what we see in this passage is a large part of Christian growth is growing in knowledge, in understanding of the truth, what God has spoken. When we grow in faith in Christ's likeness by growing in our knowledge, we seek to learn the whole counsel of God. Not that there aren't many mysteries that we will never understand. Not that there aren't difficult things in Scripture. Not that even still at our best we are really just still children. So much that we don't understand, and we've got to be humble before God. But upon everything that God has spoken, isn't it so important, so vital that we want to study God's word? We want to drink it in and learn. Shouldn't we want to know everything our Father has told us and how every other thing relates to him? And we grow by mining the depths of God's word, of learning and study. The truth is so powerful. The truth sets free. So many people today are in bondage, miserable and unhappy and captive to so many sins because they just don't hear the truth. The church is in such a powerless state because the truth is not being taught. And we need meat. I mean, if we want it, the goal is we want to be strong, healthy Christians, mature Christians. There is such a thing as being a father in Christ. As 1 John says, there's a difference between those who are the children in the faith and those who are the fathers in the faith. We need mature Christians, equipped. What does the Lord teach about his triunity? What does he teach about creation and marriage and politics? And what is all the wisdom we need for holiness and godly living? We surely want to be mature. And the scripture says, the spiritually immature are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled, that implies using the word of righteousness like a tool or a weapon. And like a novice who could be unskilled with a sword and ends up chopping his own hand off rather than the enemy's, an immature believer doesn't know how to use God's word to help him against the devil. And to evangelize and to teach. Again, the goal is we want to be skilled servants of the word who know how to use the sword of the Spirit. We know which parts of the truth to apply, which scriptures to turn to, depending on whatever the challenge is. We want to be those who know how to use the law of righteousness to humble sinners and convict them of their guilt, and how to do that wisely. And we want to be those who know how to use the truth of the gift of righteousness to humble sinners, the good news of God's gift of righteousness in Christ. And we want to know how to apply the word of righteousness so that we are growing in righteousness. We want to be skilled workmen, rightly dividing and interpreting the scriptures. So this was the lack. This was the problem among these Hebrew Christians. Is this why so many of them were apostatizing or tempted to? You remember, that's what the whole letter is addressing. Some of these Christians were ready to turn back to a pre-Christian kind of Judaism, to turn back from Christ. Is this the root cause, that they've not gone on in knowledge, teaching and understanding? How important it is, Christian, that we go forward in knowledge. And so they were not ready to go deeper and to learn about the priesthood of Melchizedek. But you know, this was not a failing unique to the Hebrews. There's many other places in the scriptures where there's other churches who were spiritually immature. I'm sure you know that there's that passage when the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, to fleshy, worldly. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, and not with solid food." Again, if we connect these passages together, you know about all the problems in Corinth. Their immorality, their divisions, their messed up ideas about pride and not serving one another. And is it the root of it? A lack of teaching. That they've not gone on in the knowledge of Christ. Or as we heard in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says to the Ephesians that they should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That being spiritually mature means you're liable to be deceived. You're unstable as a Christian. You just follow the latest fad. Whatever the last speaker or teaching has said to you, that sounds right, you go with that. And they blow with the wind. They're not solidly established in the truth. Well, there's also the Galatians. And they seem to have lost their way so badly. Paul says in Galatians 4, he fears he will have to be in labor to give spiritual birth to them again, to see Christ formed in them. They have so gone backwards, it's like they're babes in the womb and need to be born again. So, you find this across the scriptures. It's a problem when Christians are immature and undeveloped, and particularly so in their knowledge and understanding, and then they're not fruitful as they should be, they're not joyful as they should be. So since this is the warning here, and since we hear it in so many other places, then surely the right thing is we need to look at ourselves. We have to take a hard look at ourselves and say, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Am I growing in my faith or sliding backwards? Do I still have my love, my first love for God and his word? Am I still thirsty to drink in the pure milk of the word? Or has my heart grown dull? Am I advancing so that I could teach others? So that if a brother or sister came to me for counsel, I'd be able to help them? Or if I'm speaking to a non-Christian and want to answer their questions, could I do that? Am I equipped? Have I studied and learned and listened to God? Have I learned how to apply scripture to the problems that come and to increasingly bring my life in line with scripture, to be holy and godly? Since there are so many scriptures warning us about spiritual immaturity, we must examine ourselves and repent if we have slipped. Are we going forward But then helpfully, the scripture also tells us positively what we need to do. We can grow. We can grow in our faith. We can grow in our knowledge. We can become mature Christians who are solid and fruitful. In the words of verse 14, we can grow to be of full age. We can go on in Christ. Well, what must we do? Well, the scripture says that we must be those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if you boil that down, what is he saying? We've got to exercise and practice the gifts God has given us. We must labor for the bread that does not perish. We must work. We must apply ourselves. We must stir up ourselves to seek the Lord. All those commands in Scripture to seek the Lord, so many of them are not addressed to the unbeliever to seek God and be saved. They're addressed to believers. The real seeking of God begins when you're saved. And to seek him is the lifelong work of being a Christian in this world. And whatever understanding of the gospel and scriptures God has given us so far, you've got to take hold of that stock of treasure and build on it and multiply it and use what he's given you. Whatever our natural gifts, we've got to take the little that we might have and improve on it prayerfully and diligently. Make every effort. Run the race, as Paul often likes to say. Think of that servant in the parable who's given, you know, talents, money from his master. And the good ones don't bury it in the ground and hide them. The blessed ones go and use them and exercise their gifts and grow it and spread it. And in due time, the Lord rewards them. And that's what we must do. We must prize understanding, love wisdom, use our minds to glorify God and make every effort to seek our God, to dive deeply in Scripture, feed on it as daily bread, listening and learning and seeking truth. And we must make every effort to put into practice what we do know and obey what we have been commanded. We must make every effort to practice, to exercise what God has given us. This passage, as we've seen throughout Hebrews, there's a pattern in the letter, isn't there? But after the greatest encouragements, there's often the greatest challenges to search ourselves. Of where am I really going? Where am I really walking? Am I walking with the Lord? And the great challenge in this passage is, well, do you need to go to the gym, spiritually speaking? Do you need to stir yourself up to seek God, seek the truth, so that you're ready to jump in the deep end and hear and learn of the deep riches of God's grace, of God's glory that he still has to teach you? May God make us eager listeners who love his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we hear the searching challenge in the scriptures. That, Lord, you are challenging and searching us if we are spiritually immature to awake and to run after Christ, to seek him. And Father, if we have grown slothful, we would ask for your forgiveness. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take hold of us. We would pray for a gift of zeal, that, Lord, you would stir up in us a fresh desire to know more of our Saviour, to go deeper. Lord, that you would stir up in us a fresh desire to grow in holiness, to go forward and be more useful and fruitful in your service. Lord, we pray that we would not be like the stumbling Hebrew saints. But Lord, we pray that we would be going forward. May that be our fervent desire, Lord. We do ask you, Lord, to teach us that we would grow in our understanding of all of Scripture, that our hearts would embrace the whole counsel of God, and that, Lord, you would give us the grace to apply and live out the Scriptures more faithfully. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has come to help us, that he has not only inspired the Scriptures, but he has come with power to help us live them and to apply them to us. We confess our weakness, but Lord, we look to you. We thank you that although our flesh is weak, your Spirit is willing. And so help us, Lord, we pray, that we would grow, that we would be fully grown, mature Christians. For Jesus' sake, amen.